pieces of paper with pips on it so we don't have to kill each other just to get something to eat. It's not wrong.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Lays are mine, lives are mine, all that they hold, mine. I do not know your God.
We are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness. It does not serve the world. It's about shrinking. We were all meant to shine. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear.
In one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
Just want you to know that I won't let you down.
Well, happy new year, audience, and welcome to The Cutting Edge, where we are dividing darkness from light. I'm your host, Daniel Holdings, for this powerful show, the first of the new year. We have a couple of very special guests joining us today, and as I was just telling them before the show started, there could be no better guest than to join us for the first show of the new year, Doug and Joe Hagman, and we will introduce them in just a moment after a few pieces of housekeeping. But before we get there, Dorothy, are you with us?
I'm right here, Daniel.
Dorothy, it's so good to hear your voice in this this wonderful new year. And for those that don't know, I think probably all of you do. Dorothy is our producer, and this show would not be possible without her efforts. Dorothy, I know that you have some very specific questions for our guests, and hopefully we can get to those shortly. But, you know, you mentioned to me how you were feeling in the spirit just before we started. What are your thoughts, very briefly, for the new year, Dorothy, and for the shows that you actually produce?
For the show,
you weren't expecting that question. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Usually I'll get heavy in the spirit if Father is leading me to pray for someone, and he'll eventually tell me. The new 2014, I think, is going to be a little rough in the flesh.
Well,
but
I think
it's going to be wonderful in the spirit, if that makes sense.
I think it's absolutely right. 2014, you know, there is this phrase that we use. You hear it all the time. People say, Happy New Year. And normally the new year is greeted with anticipation. For some reason, people think that things just change one day to the other, when in reality it's just another day. We live in this chronological time in our 3D world, and we look for change. We look for a new beginning. It's the way that humans are made up. But I think you are right as far as time goes. In 2014, this year will be different than all the rest. I believe that we will see changes like we have never seen before, good and bad. We will see things happening in the sun, moon, and the stars. We will see things happening in the political realm. We will see things happening on Earth. We will see things happening in the spiritual realm that will change the Earth forever. And if we are not plugged in to God, if we are not plugged in to the Holy Spirit, if we do not walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ Himself, then we will find that the going for 2014 is very, very tough. So, Dorothy, I think you're absolutely right. This is a pivotal year. It's a very important year. And we can face it with fear and trepidation, or we can face it bright-eyed and ready to do battle. And I think it's very important that we start off the year with a reality check. Now, the topic of the show today is penetrating the veil. As the audience remembers, we have been doing a series of shows regarding the veil. Excuse me. Steve Quayle helped us to kick that off with a couple of shows, and we've just kept on that same vein with a little different emphasis on the veil. So what we will be talking about today are those things that are supernaturally, spiritually motivated or spiritually developed that have made their way from the supernatural to the world that we see. And oftentimes what happens is that those things take on a real physical form or physical character. That we end up having to deal with things in our 3D world that are sometimes uncomfortable. However, you have to understand that those things are supernaturally motivated or inspired. And so, as I said, there's a couple guys that know better than to help us to address those, and the Hagmans, and we will be talking to them shortly. But, you know, a couple of the things that I wanted to talk about before we even start into that is that, you know, this year heralds something like, Dorothy, it's crazy, 14,000 new laws are on the books for 2014. It blows my mind. You know, marijuana was legalized in Colorado. Gay marriage was legalized in a couple different states. And incandescent light bulbs are a thing of the past. They've went into the annals of history. Obamacare is now the law of the land, and it's still in disarray. You still can't sign up on Obama on the website, and it threatens to bankrupt our country. In the meantime, smart money, as they call it, are billionaires that have lots of money in the stock market. Even though the stock market was going crazy at the end of last year, and I made the comment a few shows back that it was a fool's rally, but billionaires are jumping out of the stock market in droves. They're scared to death at what's around the corner. And then, as far as signs in the sky and the moon and the stars, just the New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day, there were reports of almost 700 fireballs reported in the skies all over the United States. So the question is, what are all of these things pointing to? Why are we dealing with the crazy signs in the sky that we find ourselves looking at? So we will, in just a few moments, talk to a couple of the preeminent host on Blog Talk Radio, Doug and Joe Hagman, and they will help us to understand some of the physical things that we will be dealing with within our 3D world, and we are very much looking forward to chatting with them right after this.
Possible that a fictional thriller could predict the future? That's exactly what happened with Daniel Holding's novels 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast and As the Darkness Falls. Mr. Holding's first novel, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, is set to the background of Geneva, Switzerland and the Large Hadron Collider. Upon reading it, Torah Code expert Barry Rothman of ArtCode.com ran an ancient Torah Code on 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, Mr. Holding's name, and the storylines from the book. What he found was simply stunning. Miraculously, 4,200 years before its publication, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast is found in the ancient Torah Code. How could Holdings, a fictional writer, predict the discovery of the God particle in 2012? In addition, brilliant Brazilian physicist Francis de Aquino says that HARP is being used as a time manipulation device. Both of these real-life storylines come straight out of 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. However, Daniel Holdings wrote about these issues months, in some cases years, before they came to light. With his second book, Daniel continues on this vein with As the Darkness Falls. The storylines in that book appear to have been ripped from today's headlines. Whether it's earth changes, continuing civil unrest, the potential of a collapsing economy, or supernatural events from all over the world that seem to go unnoticed by the population at large, As the Darkness Falls continues to delve into those issues that mainstream media refuses to acknowledge, and readers from all around the world want to hear about. Some call him a modern-day prophet. Others wonder what his sources are within the government. Does he have some inside information? Holdings will tell you he's a simple writer. Watchman Larry Taylor says that in the elements of CERN and the hum of the harp, Daniel Holdings gets supernatural to the core. L.A. Marzulli, Watchers host, researcher, and lecturer, says of Holdings that his insight is critical in understanding the times in which we live. All of Mr. Holdings' books are available through Amazon, both in paper and digital format. Be sure to check out his website, www.danielholdings.com. His books are at a discount there, and he posts regular news articles that are pertinent to the times in which we live. And while you're on the site, make sure you read the excerpt from his latest wildly anticipated sequel, All of These Things. Daniel, an author, researcher, and lecturer, speaks on a variety of subjects whenever invited. You can find him here on The Cutting Edge on this Blog Talk radio station. Daniel Holdings and DanielHoldings.com. More than just entertainment.
Well, we are back on The Cutting Edge, where we are dividing light from darkness. We are talking about penetrating the veil with a couple of very special guests. Doug Hagman started his Northeast Intelligence Network as a result, compelled by the events of 9/11. And at that time, he gathered a group of like-minded professionals seeking to protect the homeland from future terrorist attack. That network was truly one of substantial individuals. And amazingly, after digging into those things that may cause harm to our country, he found himself somewhat disillusioned with with how his information was being used and to protect the homeland. The radio show was born out of that frustration, and now today, Doug and his son, Joe Hagman, are the preeminent blog talk radio host in the country. And it is a great pleasure of mine and The Cutting Edge to welcome Doug and Joe Hagman. Guys, are you there?
We're here. Yes, we are. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being with us. I know that you guys have a lot on your plate, and for you to take the time out of this busy first couple days of the new year and spend it with our audience, I really, really appreciate it. I can't tell you enough. And, you know, it's I mentioned at the very beginning that Dorothy has been following you guys for the longest time. She has some very specific questions that she wanted me to ask you. But before we get into all that, and she didn't know I was going to do this, but Dorothy, if you are there, would you like to say hi to Doug and Joe Hagman on the air for us?
Hi, Joe, Doug.
Hi, Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy. Oh, I'm feeling myself a little bit, shall we say, well, I use the word foggy. I feel like, you know, today anything goes. I'm ready to spill my guts. How's that?
Well,
Doug, I've been following you since you were doing Fridays with Lori Roth. So.
Oh, yes. Lori's such a great lady. Lori Roth has got a great show. She's a great lady. She's nationally syndicated. We had a great time doing the Friday shows, and boy, I'll tell you, that's going back. And even before that, I was doing radio with Kathleen Keating, and she wrote the book The Final Warning. And I also subbed for Steve Quayle once in a while. I'm not sure. I guess that's how we kind of got into the radio industry. We're certainly not a broadcast professional any more than I'm certainly not that good at it, but we're trying just to bring forth information to the people.
Well, you know, that was one of the things I wanted to bring out, Doug and Joe, specifically Doug. I mean, you kind of backed into this whole idea of radio, didn't you? If you look forward, you know, 20 years ago and you imagine what your life would be, did you see yourself as a radio host?
Oh, man, that was never on my radar at all, not even close. In fact, I would have laughed at that thought, but things change. And you know, I fought this. Personally, I fought being on to do a radio show. And God really works in amazing ways, because he took all of my escape hatches, our escape hatches, away from us. We were doing work for a very large Fortune 100 company, and we spent a lot of time in New York City. And we were making very good money doing it. Now, this is just a couple of years ago, and we had decided, look, you know, from what we're seeing here, there, with respect to terrorism, there's really no use, no need for us to be in the mix. And we put our efforts into our work, and then people kept asking us, please, you know, do a radio show, please continue doing it, do something, just go out on your own. Well, we declined, and we kept declining, and suddenly there was a day when we said, okay, we would try it. Joe and I would try it on Saturdays and once a week. And what happened after that, we kept saying no to anything regular, anything more robust than that. Well, it was interesting, because there was a day that I had said something, I believe it was, or we had said something on the radio, and it was about our Christian beliefs. And I was contacted by our biggest client, who said, look, you either have to be private, truly private investigators to work for us and keep your Christian beliefs to yourself, or you can go ahead and talk on the radio and not work for us. Well, I don't know about you, Mr. Holdings, but I'll tell you, my son can tell you, I don't like people giving me ultimatums. It's kind of like the finger in the chest kind of thing. Well, we took the leap of faith, prayed about it, and began our radio show from that. And there was no looking back. And it felt like the right thing to do. And I think our growth has affirmed that. I'd like to think that anyway. So that's how we kind of came to be.
That's kind of funny, actually. That's kind of your Duck Dynasty moment, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, oh, a few pay grades lower than Duck Dynasty, quite a few, but yes, very much the same like that. And Joe can tell you too. We were really moving pretty fast, pretty hard with the investigative work that we were doing, and then suddenly again, you know, no income. That income stopped immediately, and we took the leap of faith.
And as my dad said, you know, the Lord really puts you where He wants you to be. And, you know, thankfully we didn't fight it too much, and we've been blessed and given a platform to speak to so many people, and we've met, from listeners to guests, the most amazing people have been put in our lives, and we are just so blessed by the show and the people that listen to the show and that join us on the show, and people like yourself, Mr. Holdings, and it's a blessing to be on your show. And as my dad said, we never planned on doing this. So, you know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, if you'd have said, you know, you're going to be doing radio show as your profession, we really would have laughed and thought it was funny. But the Lord has his ways, and his ways put us where we are today. And we're going along for the ride, not fighting it anymore.
You know, and I don't want to dominate, but I just want to say this, Mr. Holdings, and I'll tell you, the listeners might be interested in this. Back in 04, 05, 2004, 2005, we had done a lot of field surveillance work of Muslim terrorist compounds in the United States. And because we traveled throughout the eastern part of the country, we had been given information about the Muslims of the Americas or the International Chronic Institute. Well, these camps, these training compounds, are headed by, they're part of the Jamaat al-Fukra terrorist organization, which is based in Pakistan. And the kingpin of this terrorist organization is a very despicable man by the name of Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jawani. Well, we had used a lot of our resources to conduct surveillance in the Catskills, in the Catskill Mountains, of this one particular training compound. And we had interviewed neighbors, and we're talking about a compound that is a very expansive commune-style compound, where you've got trailers and small lean-tos and sheds and houses that have these black Muslims in this particular rural area. And surrounding this compound are neighbors with, you know, normal houses, and it's pretty far. It's pretty expansive area. But nonetheless, we had turned over to the FBI and the Department of Justice our findings. And our findings included gunfire, automatic weapon gunfire, not semi-automatic, I'm talking about automatic, and explosions. We had a school bus. In fact, I've got photographs. There was a school bus on the property that had bullet holes all through the bus. Now, we had, in addition to that, at the same time, we also had taken videotape of young men being trained in the city of Buffalo, being trained in paramilitary activities. Now, these were young Muslim men, and they were being taught how to scale walls. Now, this was within this particular compound in Buffalo, unrelated to the Muslims of Americas. Now, I said all that to say this. We turned over the information, our investigative work product, and it was 80-some pages, to the FBI and the Department of Justice. This is back in, now, 2006. And we had evidence to support that the weapons that were buried on the compound in the Catskills, that actually bodies, if you can believe this, were buried there, are buried there. And come to find out, it was, I don't think the ink was as dry on the papers that we gave to the FBI and Department of Justice. That report immediately found its way into the hands of Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jawani. Now, that would not ordinarily...
Wow.
Okay? That posed a problem in a couple of different areas. Number one, now we have this Pakistani terrorist kingpin who's got his sights set on me because I signed the report. So he issued a religious statement against me. Some call it a fatwa, perhaps. There's a whole page dedicated to me, and then he basically accuses me of causing World War III and the scourge of everything. Well, who is Jawani? Again, it wouldn't be really that bad if the guy was just a nobody, but he was the guy that Daniel Pearl, the Wall Street Journal reporter, was on his way to meet when he was kidnapped.
Wow.
And beheaded. And then little things after that happened. We lost a car in a car fire, and a very unusual kind of situation. And there were threats made, but it seemed to me that all of the terrorism, Muslim terrorism that we had found and uncovered, it didn't make a difference. It was a done deal. There was something behind this that was pushing this. And we also discovered after the our investigation. We also discovered FBI agents in plain clothes sitting breaking bread with the people at the Jamal al-Fukra compound in the Catskills. In other words, not only were they looking the other way, they were actually a part of this massive terrorist operation. And right then I knew, look, we got a real big problem. And that's when I just said enough, and why bother helping the country when in fact the people that are running the country are behind a lot of what's going on. So that's kind of an unusual, I don't talk about that often, but I think I'm going to start because I think that's important for people to understand.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys on. I mean, when you're the host of a show, I mean, ideally what happens is you have people on and they talk about their subjects of interest that they're talking about. But it's not too often that we get to hear from you guys directly, and I think those things are very, very important because, you know, Doug and Joe, you guys' insights about where the country is and where we are going, particularly for 2014, is very, very important for people to understand. Those things that you are privy to are out of the purview, if I can say it like that, of mainstream media and the public. And it is essential that people understand where we are. Because the whole goal of this show, this particular show on this particular day, and The Cutting Edge in general, is to really help people to understand that things are not what they seem. The world is not the two-sided paradigm of politics that that the media tells us it is, or any resemblance of the country that we thought that we lived in even 10 years ago. So it's really important that we hear directly from you guys about those things that you've been working on and those feelings that you have about where we are going. But before we go any further, guys, you are always so polite. You always call me Mr. Holdings, and you make me feel so old. Please call me Daniel, because I'll call you Mr. Hagman if you want. But please call me Daniel.
All right.
You know, Joe, we don't hear from you very often, and I actually don't know how young you are, but I know you got married just maybe a couple years ago. How is it that you started working with your dad, and what is it that you do with him?
Well, thanks for asking. How I started working with my dad, really, he used to kidnap me as a child when I was about 12 years old and throw me in the back of a van and told me to hold the camera, and he would use me for working as a private investigator. It wasn't really kidnapping, but
he was training me. It was. I'll tell you, I used him as a stage prop. I exploited him to the dismay of his mother and others. I exploited the heck out of him, Daniel, and I got to tell you, it's... I use them as a stage prop. And, you know, people sometimes get disarmed when they see a guy walking around with a young man. And I even exploited his sister. Sometimes I took the both and the family dog, whatever it took to get the job done.
Yeah, and working as a private investigator with him, started to do that, then ventured off and did a few other jobs, I think construction, and came back to work for him over the last 5 years of private investigation business full-time, and we spent a lot of time traveling. As you said, we worked in New York City a lot. We'd spend a week there and a week here and go back to New York for another week, and we spent a lot of time talking amongst each other in our van as we traveled. And
just to be clear, the New York City that people might think in the back of their mind that the trinket lights of Broadway, no, we're talking about the back streets of Brooklyn and the Bronx and in those places.
We were not in the sightseeing spots of New York. We were in, you know, Brooklyn and the Bronx. Spent a lot of time on Long Island, but we talked, and we'd always have these debates about the country and the politics and things that were going on. And really, if we had to put a starting point on where the show began, it really began in the van as we worked as private investigators. And the banter that people say they enjoy, that we have on our show. It's real, and these are the kinds of discussions we would have in our van as we were driving to and from cases, insurance investigation claims. And it is just, as far as marriage is concerned, I did get married on June 23rd of 2012. So this June will be 2 years, and best decision I ever made. And
he's 30 years old, Dan, and I had him when I was 12. Either that or I adopted him because I'm only 42 right now.
But
you know,
I
actually just had my 30th anniversary, and people go, "Oh, congratulations!" And I say, "Don't be impressed. I got married when I was 10." So I hear you, Doug. I hear you. You know, that's kind of what I meant, Joe, by backing into, you know, to the you guys weren't conspiracy theorists when you started out. I mean, you were, you know, as most of us were. I mean, I tell the story how I only just woke up maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it wasn't all of a sudden. I'd been a believer, a Christian for a number of years, 20 some odd years, and I began to see things a little differently. And it was kind of the same thing with you guys. I mean, your paradigm shifted completely, did it not? I mean, you didn't start out to say, gee, you know, there's conspiracies behind every door now. I mean, that's not how you started out.
For me, it was interesting. I guess my age and the times I started paying attention. Government and authority was always a problem for me, and
good parental authority too.
Yeah, that was also. But me and my dad had such varying ideas of what the country was when we really started to get into this stuff and where we were headed and what was right and what was not right. And I was wrong about a lot of things, and my dad was wrong about a lot of things.
I know. No, you're right, Daniel. I got to tell you, I held the conservative Republican line right up at, look, at 9/11 happened, I wanted to bomb the heck out of whoever did this, and I was ready just to, you know, grab my own gun and go out there and get me some terrorists, okay? And that's the way we approached the we approached setting up the Northeast Intelligence Network, and that's the way we approach everything, except when we were doing, for example, when we were monitoring the chat rooms and the forums and the websites, we had some people that could just run circles around the FBI and the Department of Justice in terms of infiltrating these various forums and chat rooms. Well, this is what we did. And, of course, I held this party line, this Republican conservative thought. Joe, on the other hand, you know, I used to, like, try to toss him out of the moving van when we were traveling across Interstate 80 because
he gets so mad. I would call George Bush and the administration Nazis.
Exactly.
He took that as an insult to his wife or something.
You know, I thought, man, how could this be? And then it wasn't like this all of a sudden, hey, you know, it was a gradual learning process when we realized that something was terribly wrong. So the people who have not lived in the world in which we were in, they have no clue. People, and I see this on message boards, on forums, on various Republican and Democrat, conservative, and other. These people have no clue of what's going on. And of course, we get called, you know, fear-mongers. Peddlers of fear porn, and we're crazy because there's no conspiracies. But when you really get into this and see this, holy cow, there is no other conclusion that you can reach once you take away all of the or compile all of the evidence. And so I'm going to say this: Joe was way far ahead of me, and as it turned out, he was correct in many of the things he was saying, most of the things he was saying. But we kind of, when we got together, he got fine-tuned, and we're both still being fine-tuned, I should say. But the truth is stranger than fiction, and yes, there is a large lie in which we live, and people who don't understand that yet, I guarantee you, Daniel, they will. They will when it hits them right between the eyes.
Well, and I fear that time is not too far away, perhaps even this year, and we're going to get into that. But, you know, one of the things that just listening to you right now, I think it's important that we note that, you know, Joe was talking about George W. Bush. So we hear about how President Obama is surrounded by members of, he has several Muslims on his staff, Muslim Brotherhood compatriots, if nothing else, that work for him, that he's in contact with. And look, audience, I'm not beating up on, you know, President Obama. He is who he is. Things are what they are. This is not, you know, a Republican, Democrat type of conversation. These are the facts, and one of those facts is that you guys were just talking about George W. Bush. I was in the military for several years, and I loved this country, love this country, but it is not the country that it was years ago, nor is it the country that I thought it was. So when you talk about those things that have been going on behind the scenes prepping for, I believe, this year, how far back are we talking, Doug?
In terms of, you mean, where we're at, the conspiracy, the lie? How far back do we go?
Well, particularly the Muslim infiltration of the country and the conspiracy, if you will.
Well, I personally think that this goes back into the First and Second World Wars. Now, we can go back there, and of course that would be a long discussion, but I think more recently you've got Obama, who I believe is a product of our intelligence agencies, and he was groomed for the very day and time in which he was selected to serve as the president. And I don't believe, number one, I don't believe he's legitimate, and number two, I believe he's a product of our intelligence agencies, and number three, I believe he's a Muslim or Muslim, Marxist Muslim, and I think he was put in there to serve a purpose. But if you go back to George W. Bush, his two terms, look at what happened with 9/11. Folks, we cannot believe that the official narrative of 9/11, at least I don't. Now, that's not to say that, some spacecraft came out and took out the buildings and did everything. I mean, there are inconsistencies with the story. If you look at just the facts, there are inconsistencies with the facts, about the facts. So what's the truth there? Well, why did 9/11 happen? And I truly believe that 9/11 is a hinge moment in time that was not necessarily orchestrated by Bush and his cronies, but orchestrated by a criminal element, or facilitated at the very least by a criminal element in our government. And that's a very important distinction to make. There's a criminal element, and then there are people that are just, you know, figureheads, and they just do what they're told. But this goes back a long way, and I think, just to bring it more toward the present, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but if you just look at from a biblical perspective, and I don't think we can take away the biblical perspective from this, January 20, 2001, Bush, his first inaugural address, he's standing looking at this obelisk known as the Washington Monument. This is this icon for the New World Order, if you will, and he's quoting about, he's referring to an angel that rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm.
Yeah.
And, of course, now he was, you know, so if you look at all of the different factors, and, of course, that went forward from there. But, no, to answer your question, and without getting into a diatribe here, I think that the real Muslim influence goes back to World War I and World War II, and I believe that you could even take it back further back to 9/11 of 3 B.C., for reasons which I'll just leave alone. I just believe that's the true birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But having said that, I think that I think that 9/11 was done as to pervert his birthday.
One form of the agenda, yeah. September 11th, in my opinion, definitely was carried out by criminal elements of the criminal satanic elite. And how far it went into the U.S. government and the administration, you know, we'll never know. But from what happened, it obviously had help. This attack was helped or allowed to be carried out by our government because you look at what was hit, you know, the Pentagon and the time from the plane to the hijacking to when they did impact. There's so much wrong with 9/11. You know, we could spend a week of shows just on inconsistencies there. But this loss of liberty, country being taken over, some say that since the inception of America, that's what America was created for, was to be the new Atlantis. In Paul McGuire's new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, he gets into that new Atlantis a lot, and the idea that America was founded to be this new Atlantis, to usher in the new world order or the new Tower of Babel for these end times. Now, others will say it started in 1913 with the inception of the Federal Reserve, allowing a private entity to issue the money for the United States of America.
Well, in, you know, you go all the way back to Jekyll Island and all that kind of discussion, and you're right, Doug, we could just have endless shows on this subject. But, you know, it was important that people understand where you guys are coming from. You didn't just wake up yesterday and say, oh, there's a conspiracy going on in the country. This is something that you have been following, you guys have been following that, and that you've been researching for quite some time. You know, I think it's really important, and you just put your finger on it, I think it was Doug, when or it could have been Joe, I forget exactly, you were talking about President Bush and how he talked about the angel in the whirlwind, which is a direct reference to messianic belief. But I believe it was also in that inauguration speech that he referenced the New World Order. So there is something going on behind the scenes that most of America does not understand. And I think what's really, really important, and that is the purpose of this show, that these things that we see, this infiltration of the government, this moving forward with an elite agenda is something that we have to live out. We are living in this 3D existence, this 3D world that we call America. And but the fact is that the inception of those things are actually spiritual. They're actually supernatural. There are some crazy things that surround Obama. And, you know, I don't have to tell you guys. You get on the internet and look for yourself. But let's just take one as an example. You know, when Obama was named Man of the Year, or he won the Nobel Prize, I should say, he went to Norway to accept his prize. And lo and behold, this strange Norway spiral appears. you know, in the same town. It's a very strange thing. People have said that he was much more than a plant. There have been even further conspiracies that said he was a clone, or, I don't know, that he's an alien, that he's the Antichrist. Folks, I don't know. I'm here to tell you, I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is what these guys are telling you right now. So all that stuff may be true or may not be true, but it really doesn't matter, because we are living out the reality of their efforts. And their efforts are, in fact, designed to change America. When Obama campaigned on change, he wasn't kidding, was he, guys? His intent from the very beginning was to change what this country was, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. We're looking at, in my view, in our view, I think I could speak for Joe as well, we're looking at a man who represents the face of the, the
agenda.
Yeah, people like everything really neat and tidy, and that's one thing. Anytime Joe and I ever went to we were called, let's say, for an investigation of a suspicious death, somebody that had a large insurance policy on them, and of course we looked at it. When the stories were very tidy, when people would come out and the stories would all mesh, you know, the witnesses, let's say a guy was supposedly died in an accident or was murdered, yet indications were that he committed suicide, he took out a $10 million policy, and it was within the exclusionary period, and of course the insurance company was on the hook for, a huge sum of money. Well, when you start investigating things like that, and you look at the stories of different people, the different players in the event itself or in the investigation itself, and all of a sudden everything lines up really nice, then red flags should go off. Because in the real world, nothing is as tidy as it is on television. And people have a tendency to overthink things and overdo things, and that's when their stories start to break down. That's when you start to look and say, wait a minute, there's something wrong here with this official narrative that everyone is talking about.
And what's the famous America? Hitler quote? The lie, the bigger the lie, the easier it is to get away with something along those lines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes. So Obama is, in our view, in my view, Obama is a Marxist Muslim. He has no papers. He's got no pedigree. He is a product of the intelligence services, namely the CIA. And by the way, how in the world is it possible? Is it just coincidence, for example, that Obama's mother worked with Geithner's father at the Ford Foundation in Indonesia? I mean, does this happen? Do these coincidences just happen? And of course, you've got Obama's connections right now. His people, as a matter of fact, the Rhodes Scholars that are associated with Obama. Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, if people understood, for example, the history of the Rhodes Scholarship, what it means, well, it's pretty significant. I mean, from Susan Rice to Kagan to a whole bunch of other people, to Emanuel, to a number of people. So the Rhodes Scholarships, just as one example, is a way to once again become subservient to the British Crown. And I think ultimately the one world government is going to be, the economic aspect of it is going to be tendered by the superintended by the City of London, that very small little piece of real estate in London where even the Queen has to curtsy before the head of that town, so, or the head of that city. So what we're seeing in the broader scheme of things is this creation of the CIA, creation of our intelligence agencies, now fundamentally changing America to soften it so we can, and to bring it down, to bring America down so we can now be taking away the speed bump to the one world governance. And that's Obama's job. And what Hillary couldn't do, what Bill Clinton couldn't do, what George Bush couldn't do, but certainly tried like heck, and his father and others before him, well, this is this time and place for Obama. So I think we all have to look, in my view at least, look at the bigger picture, because people look at certain situations with blinders.
And we had this perfect opportunity for this change, the Hope and Change campaign that Obama ran on that got him in was change from what we were seeing from, the Bush era. And that was this New World Order stuff, the militarization, the Patriot Act, all these unconstitutional wars, the Guantanamo Bays, the debt. He basically came out and said he was going to change all of these things and restore them back to the way that the American people wanted, which was constitutionally restored it back to the way it should be. And he just flat out lied and used the opportunity of the country wanting hope and change, the globalists did, to use this chance to put Obama in and to put somebody in there. And you see now, you criticize the man for his policies and you're racist. You criticize him for, breaking the law. You're racist. You just are trying to keep a good black man down, as Chris Matthews or Ed Schultz would say. And what they've done is two pronged, because they've been able to implement their agenda and they've been able to keep people in the Republican versus Democrat paradigm when the answer is not in a politician.
And sadly, people are still looking to the voting booths, still looking to people to solve the problem that we have in this country. And as Steve Quayle says, you can't solve a political, there's no spiritual or political solution to a spiritual problem.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And he says that often, as a matter of fact. And, you know, that's why I think shows like this are so important, because, you know, this year is a pinnacle year. It's an important year in many ways. And it will see, I predict, the fruition of at least part of their plans. Now, in addition to that, there's a bunch of other crazy stuff that is supposed to happen this year. Again, looking at signs in the sky, I mean, there's talk that there's a ton of debris, tons of debris, coming from the breakup of ice and then mid-January to the end of
yeah.
January. And what is that? I know you had Augusto Perez, a friend of mine, and Steve Quayle on talking about this very issue on your show. So you have signs in the sky. In addition to that, there are two blood moons, what they call triad moons, this year, on falling on, believe it or not, Passover and Rosh Hashanah, which is unbelievable because, you know, you guys know the Bible. It talks about in Joel that the moon will turn red as blood. And, you know, there's a solar eclipse in between those two things. So you have that going on. And then you also have, in the physical realm, the world that we live in, you have the pending collapse of the United States dollar in our economy. Now, that's just three things off the top of my head, and I'm not even talking about, you know, some of the things that some of your guests have talked about. Steve often talks about Dimitru Dudeman, and he talks, you know, Dimitru had this vision of nuclear war on our own soil. You guys have reported about nuclear briefcases that have so supposedly, you know, gotten in the hands of the wrong people and could potentially go off. So there are a ton of hazards as we face this year. And folks, this is not the future. This is not in the by and by. This is not some sort of, you know, these guys are worried about something that could not happen. No, these things are staring us in the face, and it's very important that we take a look at them at the very... Because, look, you know, one of the guys that I used to love listening to, I don't listen to him anymore, he's passed away now, but it was Zig Ziglar. And, you know, Zig Ziglar used to have this saying. When I was in business, you know, we'd listen to motivational speakers. He used to have this saying. He says, and he'd say it in his southern drawl. He'd say, well, if you got to stare at a frog, if you got to eat a frog, you don't want to stare at that sucker all day. Meaning that you eat it right away so you get it over with. And as we look at 2014, we need to take our medicine. We need to look at the reality that we are facing and prepare on how to do that. Now, how do you prepare? You prepare physically, obviously. I mean, you guys, you have a section on your site about preparedness. You have guys on to talk about preparedness. So that's great, and we can talk about some of that. But you also have to spiritually prepare, and you have to emotionally prepare. So you prepare physically, you prepare spiritually, and you prepare emotionally. And that's what the show today is designed to do. It's designed to take a look at the reality in which we live, face it head on, and see how we are going to deal with the issues that we're facing for this new year. Now, you know, Doug, I mentioned that when I contacted you earlier in the week, I mentioned that I had read your most recent interview with, or it will actually be your last interview, with your contact, Rosebud. And you know, that was kind of the impetus the Lord dropped on my heart, that you really needed to be on the show, and we needed to talk about some of these things, and you graciously agreed. And then just the day after, a couple of days later, you also spoke with a guy on your show, Michael, who supposedly confirmed some of what actually Rosebud had said. Now, it occurred to me that you, from the network of investigators, I'm kind of slow sometimes, but it occurred to me that from the network of investigators that you'd put together back in, you know, in the early 2000s, these are where your contacts had come from, and you find yourself kind of like the go-to guy for people with information. Is that a pretty good assumption?
Well, yeah, it is. And from my experience, I mean, I've been a private investigator in the private sector, multi-state licensed for, well, going on 30 years now. You develop contacts. You take a course, for example, and or a class or some sort of program that even through continuing education, and you're paired up with people from all agencies, FBI, the Secret Service, Department of Justice, state police, local police. So, yes, but I suppose from my profession, that's how I developed a lot of these contacts, who then, through the evolution of things, they go on to various federal departments. For example, my contact in the DHS went on to the DHS after it was formed, and this individual had loads of law enforcement, specific law enforcement experience, and also administrative experience. So, yes, that's how the contacts were formed. And it's interesting, Dan, because I'll get emails from people saying, oh, well, that's just a voice in your head. He doesn't really exist. And if he did, you know, he would identify himself. And no one could have access to this information. Well, whatever, you know. I'm not asking anyone to believe what I write. I'm not asking anyone to agree with what I write. Sometimes I don't agree with the information I get, but that doesn't prevent me from writing it. Even in this particular case, this was the right time, the right place, the right person, a pretty fortuitous contact. And however, you know, now that chapter is closed. That individual said to me, look, if I cannot change, or if I cannot be part of a change to stop what's coming, to stop this tyranny, to throw a monkey wrench into the machinations of the DHS, then I'm not going to be a part of it. And people have to understand, too, DHS is the third largest cabinet agency. They've got over almost a quarter of a million people working for DHS. So, you know, people will say, well, you gave too much information out that, my goodness, this person, you've endangered this person, and they'll be able to tell because, you know, of some characteristic you referenced. Folks, you realize how many people match that particular descriptive qualities that I've given? So I guess I said that just to say this. There are some good people that were recruited, that were disillusioned by what they saw. And I'll tell you what, I can relate to that because I did not, as you pointed out earlier, look, I didn't come to the table believing that government was bad and that we were facing tyrannical oppression in this country. But that's certainly my conclusion at this point. So, so with my particular contact, he's no longer associated with DHS because of the fact that, look, he can't stop what's. It seems like we're not going to be able to stop what's coming, so we have to prepare, and that's kind of the story behind that contact. So that the last article I wrote, which is on HomelandSecurityUS.com, explains that, and also I've got a compilation of all of the contacts I've had with him, in on the front page of our website. So, you know, again, I'm not asking anyone to believe it. But Dan, I'll tell you what, I think that every bit of information he's given to me, it's been pretty much on target.
Well, it's amazing how his information correlates with other things that you hear out there, other things that you've brought to the table. As I said, you know, this guy Michael that you spoke to seemed to agree with much of what he said. So, and we're going to get into, folks, so you understand, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of that. We're coming up on our hard break right now. At the top of the hour. So when we get back, we're going to talk to Doug and Joe Hagman about those very things that we will be seeing, I believe, in this new year.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never.
We are back. You are listening to The Cutting Edge, where we are dividing light from darkness. I am your host, Daniel Holdings, with my special guest, Doug and Joe Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Agency and the Hagman Report on their wildly successful show on Blog Talk Radio. You know, audience, it is important that we view things as we move into this new year from a biblical perspective. The Word tells us, the Bible tells us, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with the powers, principalities, and forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So here's the thing. This battle that we see ourselves in the midst of, the things that are coming upon the earth, the things that we are facing in real time, are in fact motivated by, or should I say their genesis is in the spiritual realm. And you cannot face this year and have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ with all that is coming toward us without walking with him. And so it's really important that we step back and look at the perspective from which we are viewing the world today. Because, and folks, you know, Doug and Joe know this, I'm not a religious guy. I may sound religious, but I'm not. I'm not a theologian. I do know the Bible, and I do read it often. However, I will tell you that my faith is not based on words on paper. It is not based on some ceremony. It is based in a real live relationship with a God who I know personally. So there has never been a time for you and I to envelop ourselves in the love of Christ and the peace of Christ as it is right now. These days that we are going into are dire. I don't have to tell you that. And we are not fear-mongering here. I'm not trying to scare you. I am telling you the truth. And part of the reason why Doug and Joe Hagman are on the line today is to make sure that you understand that this is not some by-and-by, pie-in-the-sky type of thing that we're talking about. This is real life. This is where the rubber meets the road. And you and I, the Word talks about being able to have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, that peace only comes with relationship in Christ. I'm not talking about planting your butt in a pew at a church or paying your tithe. That's not what I'm talking about. Though I'm not gonna rag on those things either. But inevitably what has to happen is that you and I have to be in a living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ himself. Now, like any good marriage, the only way that you do that is through conversation. Gee, we call that prayer. But it is actually just a conversation. You find out what he has to say, and you find that in his word. And what the God of the universe says in his word. So you look to the Word and you talk to him on a regular basis, and most importantly, we need to open ourselves up to those things that we know that we've done wrong. This is called repentance, and it's a word that is sadly lacking in the world today, in the church today, because the point is that if we do not repent on a regular basis, because we all mess up, I screw up on a regular basis, but if we do not repent on a regular basis of those things that we fall short with, and if we don't cover those things with the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, and they're not forgiven, we have to ask forgiveness for that to happen. We have to acknowledge our sin before God, and he will forgive us our sins, as he said he would. But all that is just, you know, this is not complicated. We come up with ceremonies, and we come up with religious, you know, religious type of actions. But the fact is, I'm talking about relationship. And you have to plug into Christ like you've never plugged into him before. Because I dare say that 2014 is going to be one of the craziest years in all of human history. And again, it is one of the reasons why that we have the Hagmans on the show today. Now, guys, I would be remiss, although they probably know your show better than my show, but do me a favor. Can you give out your website information and any other information
Sure.
that you would think is important?
Sure. Our website is homelandsecurityus.com. And on there, you can find, you go to the front page,
You can find our emails right there on the left-hand side of the page to contact us. Our way to find the show is on the right-hand side at the top of the page, and you go to Blog Talk Radio or search The Hagman and Hagman Report. We're on 8 to 11 Monday through Friday Eastern Time, and sometimes we're on special weekend shows that we do, usually with guests like Steve Quayle and Pastor Langford. We have some Sundays we do these special spiritual shows. And Daniel, you're correct. We need to repent. We need to be in the Word of the Lord, reading the Bible, and praying about what we are reading if we want to learn. A lot of people read the Bible for ammunition to argue against a theory or a teaching. A lot of people read it to try to find just specific information about specific events that are coming to pass. But the people who read it to gain godly wisdom are the people who are going to benefit and learn the most, because the Lord will, I don't want to say, He will bless those who are seeking Him wholeheartedly, who don't have an agenda other than just learning about the Lord and about His ways. And you will get revelation. He will show you things, how things are done, how things are coming to fruition. And many of our guests, as you said, you know, Steve Quayle referred to Dimitri Duneman's vision of nuclear war. Henry Gruber has been a guest on our show, as well as Nathan Liao. And both of those gentlemen have had visions of China and Russia invading the United States. And the Lord, in these last days, has raised up many people. And the people that He is using to get His message out, I believe, are the people who are pure of heart, who are searching for Him in His ways, not for an agenda or to be able to have an upper hand against somebody else. And I say that and reiterate that because it's very important, just to not to get too far off topic here, but we'll use the rapture or resurrection topic. So many people will fight, you know, basically bare-knuckle, the Christians here, you know, fighting over this teaching, one way or the other, whether you believe a pre-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture. It has no bearing on our salvation.
Right.
Whether we go before or after the tribulation, it has no effect on whether our soul is saved.
Well,
and that's the most important thing, as you said.
I'm a very theological kind of guy, and I want to tell you and the audience that I have a theory about the rapture that is absolutely undeniably solid, and no one can argue with me. I am, you know, people talk about being a pan-tribber, right, or a post-tribber or a mid-tribber. I am a pan-tribber, I should say, meaning that if I'm walking with the Lord and I'm listening to Him and I'm living the kind of life that He wants me to live, and I'm in an attitude of repentance, then it's all going to pan out in the end. It doesn't matter when He comes. What matters is if I'm walking with Him, and that is so well said, because these days, you know, honestly, audience, I don't know when He's coming. I will tell you that I actually happen to believe what Steve Quayle believes, that this is I would probably be classified as a pre-wrath guy, meaning that I'm coming, that He's coming before His wrath is poured out, and His wrath is Armageddon. So He's coming before that. However, is He coming before we see some of these very things transpire that we're talking about today? I don't think so. And so that means, audience, that we have to be walking with Him, because all around, I posted an article on my website today where it's talking, or maybe it was yesterday, it's talking about the church around the world that is being persecuted. And while we in the United States, the church in the United States, have been relatively free from that kind of physical persecution, we certainly have other issues, but churches around the world, or Christians around the world, are being killed for their faith. And I dare say that I believe that kind of tyranny is coming to the United States, and it's part of its, and again, I'm not beating up on Muslims, but it is the impetus of the Muslim influence in our own government and our country that will one day lead to the physical persecutions, in my opinion, of Christians here in the United States. However, because we are sheltered and we believe that we are full and that we are wealthy and that we are well-dressed, the Bible calls us, I believe, in Revelation, the Laodicean church. We don't know that we're hungry and we're naked and we're poor. But when that kind of thing begins to happen and people begin to cry out to the living God, the church, I believe, the body of Christ in the United States will begin to rise up and become the bride that they were designed to be from the very beginning. And so with that introduction, and Joe, thank you so much for bringing that up, I want to get into some of the specifics of what we are looking at for this year. There are several shows. You know, it's funny, Doug, you were talking earlier about how you reluctantly became a radio host, and you were only going to do it once in a while, and then you were going to do it once a week, and you know, you didn't really want to do what you're doing now. And I know that my producer, Dorothy, is sitting in the background chuckling right now because she's been on me to do a show regularly, and the very fact that I'm doing this show today is something that she's wanted me to do for a long time. So we have on the cutting edge, there will be several guests coming up in the very near future that will be addressing those things that are coming upon the earth. And it's not because I'm looking for a forum to speak on these issues. I'm just doing what God gave me to do, and he has blessed me with some wonderful guests in the coming weeks. I can tell you that next week Stan Deo will be on, and Stan will be talking about the mechanics of the veil, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but that's just one example. Stan's been on before, but that's just one example of where we're going. Hopefully we'll have Chris Putnam and Tom Horn on a separate show here shortly, but the fact is that the church needs to hear about those things that are coming upon the earth, and guys like you and novices like me are being put at the forefront of that news. So, you know, Doug, it is really, really important that we get into. We have about 42 minutes left, a little less than that of the show, and we just got here. How time flies. But can you talk a little, what are the, you know, you've talked to Rosebud, you've talked to Michael, and I don't know how well you know Michael, how much you trust his news, but I'm sure you have other sources that I'm not familiar with off the top of my head. What are the top three things, in your opinion, that we need to be watching out for and that we will see this year?
Great question, Dan. A couple of things, well, top three things. All right. Number one, expect the unexpected. I think that's very important to really understand. I do believe, based on all the information I've been privy to, that the next thing to happen is going to come from left field. We're not going to necessarily see it coming. Let me just go back a little bit to what you and Joe were talking about. You guys were talking about the possibility of a war breakout, nuclear war, Russia, China, United States, that type of thing. And people will roll their eyes at that and say, oh, come on, you guys are, you know, it's not going to happen. I just want to remind the audience, the people listening to this program, look something up, if you don't mind. Look something up called Project Azorian. That's Azorian. This has to do with the Glomar Explorer and the Soviet submarine K-129. There was a day in 1968 that almost changed the history of the world as we know it, and in fact was really one of the events that stopped Johnson, LBJ, in his tracks from going through and running again in 1968. It was one incident, and this was given to me by someone very, very high up in the intelligence, very well connected in the intelligence world. On March 8, 1968, a K-129 Project 629A NATO Gulf II diesel electric power submarine was dispatched from Russia. It was actually patrolling the Pacific around Oahu, around the Hawaiian Islands. Well, there was an incident that happened aboard that K-129 submarine, this Gulf II submarine, where, by the way, this had nuclear-tipped missiles. There was the submarine exploded. It sank to the bottom. It suffered an onboard explosion. And it was nuclear in nature. Well, what happened was this nuclear submarine by the Russians was firing, and people can look this up for themselves and look at the declassified information from the CIA. This Russian sub was dispatched to fire a nuclear-tipped missile against Hawaii, and they were to blame it on the Chinese. In other words, the United States would blame this, would believe that it was the Chinese behind the firing on Hawaii. March 8, 1968, K-129 Soviet submarine. By the grace of God, or perhaps some other intervention, the missile blew up in the tube. Now, from that, we had the Glomar expedition, Glomar, G-L-O-M-A-R, expedition. You talk about piercing the veil. Well, the Glomar expedition was launched by the CIA. It was actually a product of Howard Hughes, who was heavily involved in this. He financed the Glomar, Hughes Glomar Explorer, and picking up the submarine off of the floor of the Pacific Ocean back in 1974. Well, if you start looking at Project Azorian, the CIA's declassified history of the Glomar Explorer, the documents recently made available to people, you'll see that much of this is still classified. Some of it has to do, there's a lot of connections. In fact, it has some connections to present day. Even Tom Clancy, for example, and of course we know that Tom Clancy recently passed away allegedly from a heart attack. Well, when we start connecting some dots on this, we can see in this particular case, history could have been made and totally corrupted, and we could have gotten ourselves into a war, or we could have found ourselves in a war with China based on the actions of a Russian submarine. The American people would have been lied to. Now, the reason I mention this is to give you an example of the paradigm, the model, the belief system that we all have about an incident that you probably never heard of. Many probably never heard of this. Many perhaps weren't even born at that time. But this was an incident that happened that would have been attributed to, falsely attributed to China. And we could have found ourselves nose to nose with China. This is the type of situation that I was told directly to expect. In other words, expect the unexpected. Expect this to happen. Expect it to be blamed. Whatever would happen in this regard, expect it to be blamed on someone who is not part of the equation. We're being lied to in the larger sense, going back to that. That's number one.
You know, I just need to interrupt you right here. We have about 35 minutes, so I don't want you to actually delve into this too much, but you know the scuttlebutt about the recent scuttlebutt about a nuclear suitcase bomb off the coast of South Carolina. Do your sources attribute any truth to that? How close is that to reality?
The only thing I can say about that, Dan, is the fact that there are nuclear tips, nuclear warheads missing, and yes, there are nuclear suitcase devices in the United States. In terms of an explosion off of the east coast of the United States, I'm getting mixed reports. That's the honest reporting. I could say, look, I'm getting people saying, no, that's baloney, it didn't happen, and others saying, oh, yes, it did. I don't know. That's the only thing I can tell you. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, but that's the kind of thing that you're talking about, is it not? You're talking about something out of left field. that we just do not expect, cannot see coming, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Okay. Precisely. And that's why I referenced the historical, put that in the historical context of the K-129.
Okay, so that's the first one. What other issues on your radar?
Second one, the economy, absolutely positively. It's all about the Benjamins. It's the money. It's the economy, stupid. Not you, of course, referencing this, kind of paraphrasing. Yeah. James Carville, 1992.
Yeah, exactly. Clinton. James Carville. Right?
Okay. So it's the economy, and the end result is they're going to devalue the dollar. The U.S. currency is not going to be the world reserve currency any longer. We will, in fact, get a haircut. Anyone who's got pensions, 401ks, money in the bank beyond the, we'll say, a three-month supply deposit, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Precious metals are a place to invest your money or to store your wealth. I shouldn't say invest, but to store your wealth, food, water, ammunition, guns, and metals. That's the second thing. The third thing is the societal and racial chaos that's going to result from either one and two or both. So you've got this, and that's that number three, the social and racial animus and riot, that's going to be exploited by the current regime in the White House. This is all part of the plan. It's like the Cloward Piven, Alinsky, all of these meeting all together at the same time to form the perfect storm. So those three things are exactly what I'm talking about, or what my sources have told me to watch for.
And would you say that all of those things are happening this year?
Well, Joe and I have talked about this because he's privy to the same or almost the same information I am, and he's got his sources, I've got mine. It's going to happen when they're ready for it to happen. I think certain events have to take place. And then one thing that you had mentioned about the blood moons, we are dealing with people who are Satanists. We are dealing with people who are worshiping pagan gods. And people, it took me a long time to try to understand. We're talking about people who are worshiping these pagan entities and casting spells, doing spells and incantations. It sounds bizarre, but the fact is they're using signs in the heavenlies. They're using the heavenly architecture to advance their agenda. So it will happen this year. I suppose it's going to happen sooner than people think, but I don't know if it's going to be contained in 2014, but I think it's already in progress, and I don't think we're going to be able to stop necessarily what's going to happen. I think it's going to extend. It's going to be a process, kind of like a snowball rolling down a hill, and it gains both size and speed. And then I think it's already starting rolling down the hill, and it's going to hit a few bumps along the way, but it's still going to keep going. And yes, I believe that we're going to see some of it in 2014, perhaps a lot of it. I think in 2015 it's going to continue to exist. And even in the 2016, during the presidential election year, I do believe that we're going to see, I think that perhaps they want the majority of things to be accomplished by 2016 or in that time period.
Well, you know, Joe, you because you're younger and you do have a different way of looking at things than your dad does. What are the top three things on your radar that you're looking at, aside from what your dad just mentioned?
Well, the top three things on my radar, one is definitely the economy and the how the Federal Reserve, inflation, stock market, precious metals, everything that encompasses with the, when we talk about the economy. We have something you talked about, the space rocks, the fireballs. And today there's an article, Undetected Asteroid Explodes Over the Atlantic. We're seeing a huge increase in space activity, and I think what we're witnessing in space is something that we really need to pay attention to. It is definitely on my top three list. What will be coming from outer space this year, be it fake alien invasion to increase in meteor strikes on the Earth.
Now, Joe, you don't really believe in aliens, do you?
No, I believe in demons. I believe that we have, as you
I'd
read
say that
from Ephesians.
In cheek. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, as you read in from Ephesians, it says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, dark principalities in high places. And we know that the battle is all about good versus evil, God versus Satan, and that Satan knows his time is short and will use this time, short time, and the instability of our mental status as a population right now to his advantage. And order out of chaos is the motto, and I can see how that would be used to persuade a population. And the third thing I would watch out for is some type of change via terrorist attack or some type of social event that would change the whole way people are right now. I mean, we could have some type of mini emergency, some type of terrorist attack that can throw the whole United States into a riot type scenario. So the possibilities of our destruction are endless. And thank gosh and thank the Lord that the possibilities for our salvation, there's only one road that leads to there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to always remember to keep him first and foremost in our mind. And once we have and established a good foundation in relationship with him, then we can look into these other things. But it's key not to worry about all these things that are coming on the earth, as we're told. Because we're told that they are going to happen, and we're told not to worry when we do see these things happening. You mentioned the blood moons, and I think that is significant. Now, how significant, I do not know. It's something I still have not been able to do the research on, but I have heard a lot in the way of what has happened during the last blood moons and the timing, the dates for this time around, and how this could all... what could happen when it's all said and done. But I think that the Lord is also going to, we're going to see a revival of people, and this is a big problem in the truth movement, in the politically awake movement. So many people are awakened to the fact that their government is corrupt, that the people of the world are working, the controllers of the world are working against them and are trying to destroy them. Well, when they come to this reality, from whoever it is that they're listening to or they're showing them this way, this truth, they are left angry. If you're like me, you're left furious. You know, you want to do something. You want to take action. But people are not led to the solution, which is the Lord. And even more so, those that are, few accept it. And I think that's a huge problem, because when you have a whole group of people, a whole country of people that have found out they've just been deceived and who deceived them, you know, they're going to be out for blood unless they know what the Lord's will for them is in their life.
Hmm. Well, that is an excellent point. You know, guys, we talk about a paradigm. And you know, one of the reasons that I titled this show Penetrating the Veil is because, particularly with people that look at political issues or conspiracy issues, they will look at the physical evidence of those things. Now, you know, it's hard enough to understand that, you know, the world is not the way we think it is, but it's even harder to understand that we live in a multi-dimensional world, even though we see 3D, three dimensions. Fourth, if you believe Einstein, that time is the fourth dimension. But the world is surrounded by other dimensions, and that sounds all hocus-pocus, but, you know, Christians would call that the spiritual realm. And this is why I keep coming back to this, because you cannot look at those things that are coming upon the earth strictly from the paradigm of our 3D world. You will not understand it, and it will make your heart fail. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail for fear at those things that are coming upon the earth. Now, how can that happen? Well, that happens because men are only looking at their physical realm, and they don't know how to deal with it. So, Joe, this is so important what you just said. We really need to look at things through the paradigm or through spiritual glasses. And, you know, I don't know that and I know both of you guys are strong believers, and I don't know that you could do what you do and understand the, you know, your show, it has Christians that listen to it, but I wouldn't say, and it is a Christian show, but I wouldn't say that it's a religious type of show. You guys deal mainly in facts. Those times that you have, you know, Pastor Langford on or Steve Coy, you're talking about spiritual issues, but you guys are pretty pragmatic in your approach of things. But, Doug, I don't know how you could see the things that are coming upon the earth and deal with the things that that you deal with if you're not walking, you know, with the Lord in a very close manner. So how do you keep your head straight? We have about 23 minutes, and with these last closing minutes of the show, I really want people to understand you guys' point of view. Above everybody else, you, and there are tons of things that you don't say that you know what's going on. So how do you deal with the reality of the world that you see from a spiritual perspective, Doug?
You know, Dan, that's a great question. Let me just use this real quick as an example. As investigators, I remember one time when we were investigating a large fraud case. Hundreds of thousands, $1 million plus of fraud, and we conducted some trash archaeology. We grabbed from a dumpster several bags of shredded material. Now, if people can relate to this, they shred their documents, their bank statements, or whatever, and some are cross cut, some are just plain shredders. Well, we had grabbed some bags and we had emptied them on a table, and we attempted to reconstruct the documents. Well, it was interesting because there were holes left in many of the areas that documents. Well, we realized that we had not opened another small bag with the other part of the shredding. So if you look at it in the way that we deal with it, for example, most people will not find or even address or deal with that missing bag of shredded material. That missing bag or that bag of shredded material that creates the entire picture is the spiritual, biblical component to the current affair, the current events. And once we found that in the case that we were working, and then we were able to reconstruct the documents in totality, then you saw the complete picture of the financial fraud that was going on. And I use that as an example only to say that without that spiritual, biblical aspect, we're never going to have the big picture. So that said, once we understand and see the bigger picture, then, of course, we can use the word, and I believe the way it was intended to be used, that as, number one, an informational, kind of an a source of information, and number two, a method to keep ourselves grounded and not be paralyzed by fear, not be paralyzed by the lack of knowledge, where most people don't put the Word of God into the mixture of the conspiracy realm or the bigger picture. We do, and that's truly, I believe, that's the only way that we are able to really see a little bit clearer and to exist without really wanting just to throw up our hands and, you know, quit and say, no, this is too heavy for us. So I don't know if that makes sense, Dan, but that's how we look at it. We use the Word of God as both a source of knowledge, but a source of promise, of power. We understand how the book ends, and we understand that we must be on God's side. We often ask for God to be on our side, but how often do we check to make sure we're on God's side? And I think that's another aspect of this. Hopefully I made sense, Dan. I'm not sure if I answered the question.
No, that is a really good answer. And And I agree with you. So oftentimes, this is the way, and I'm just being real, okay? When we talk to God, and I've been there, done that, but when we talk to God, we ask God to, you know, if we're going through tough times, we ask God to help us with our stuff, whether it be, you know, our physical stuff, our job, our house, our car, or, you know, we ask God to help with our family members, tough situations, that sort of thing. But rarely, rarely do we step back and say, God, what can I do for you? What would you like me to do, or what would you like me to be? This is what I meant by being in a relationship with the Lord. You know, Joe, you know, you've been married almost 2 years now. Now, let me give you a scenario, okay? You go to work 5 days a week. You're gone from the house, let's say, from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Before you go to work, you don't talk to your spouse. She's either in bed or you ignore her. When you get home, she sees you walk through the door, but you don't even acknowledge her. Or you might say hi, and that's it. And then you go about, you know, doing whatever you do, go to your home office and do your thing, and then maybe, you know, come out for dinner and you might exchange a couple of words, but then you go back and watch a football game or something. You've been married 2 years. How long do you think your marriage would actually last if you did that?
Daniel, first of all, have you been talking to my wife? No, I'm kidding. It would not last long, not at all. I mean, me personally, if I went one day like that, there would be a problem. She'd be standing in the doorway on the second day for me heading to work, wondering what's wrong with me. So. Yeah, the relationship needs work, it needs care, it needs you need to be connected with your significant other.
That's exactly right. And yet, when we look at a relationship with Christ, we don't look at it like that. See, here's the crazy thing, audience. We, in the Bible, this is not Daniel Holdings talking, this is not Doug and Joe Hagman talking, this is the Bible. It calls us the bride of Christ. Now, the reason I use Joe as the example is because he has a relatively new bride. And imagine, you know, if he, being the bride of Christ, ignored God like that, ignored Jesus, and yet that's what we do. We give God time, maybe in the morning, a couple words, maybe in the evening when we get home, you know, maybe over our meals, but our minds are not constantly dwelling on him. And we wonder, Doug, why we are fearful about those things that are coming upon the earth. Well, it's because we're not plugged in. It's because we're not looking to God for our peace, our sustenance. You know, it's a crazy thing, Doug. The Word says to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what Paul said, the Apostle Paul said. Now, if you tell somebody that, tell any one of your regular contacts that, to live is Christ, to die is gain, would they think you're crazy?
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there, and I think, Dan, I don't know. By the way, the analogy of the marriage, I think that was right or spot on, but I think there's a lot of people out there, and this is kind of what makes our program a little bit different in yours as well, is we look at the current events through the prism of biblical prophecy and the Scripture and the Word, and failing to do that, I think, is disingenuous to listeners, and it's... But it's even more so disingenuous to us because we really cannot exist. I mean, after all, why are we here? I'm sure that question has been a question of generations, a question of people of every generation. Why are we here? What's our purpose here? Well, we're here for a very specific purpose, and we're not going to find that in any other place. We're not going to find that on cable television. We're going to find it within the Word that we were given. And having said that, you know, with
through prayer,
through prayer, correct, and that relationship that we always have to keep first and foremost, that we have to develop that relationship. Absent of that, we'll just go off the rails, and in many senses of the word, so or the phrase. So that you very well put, and you know, it's guys like you, Dan. Seriously, when we have you on the program, our program, it's guys like you that really ground us, and Steve Quayle and others. We're really grounded in that whole process. Without that process, we would be lost. And I just want to thank you for the because you've given me a gift personally of expanding my horizons, as and Steve has done. And then he had a, by the way, Steve had a full-time job, you know, dragging me. I was kicking and screaming. He'd drag me by the hair, basically, to really understand what you're talking about. So, you know, if a guy is listening to this program and saying, "Oh, nah, you know, I don't need any of this stuff. I can handle it. I'm the guy." No, look, subjugate yourself to the word and understand that, yes, we are men. We are men of the family. However, we are also instructed to work, live, and guide ourselves by the scripture. Again, I don't know if I'm just rambling or if that was...
No. You did, that's thank you for the compliment. And listen, you guys are the spearhead. You guys, you know, you guys are in the trenches. I do this once in a while, and you know, I'm a writer. I'm a fiction writer. You know, I write books that are fantasy, if you will. But, you know, you guys are out there spitting out truth day and night, and you're taking, you know, the bombardment of criticism, and it is I who am grateful to you guys for doing what you do. You know, we have about 13 and a half minutes left of the show, and, going to Christ to address your fears and concerns and your needs. Doug, what do you think you can impart to the people today to prepare them for this coming year, 2014?
Wow. Well, I think number one, obviously the spirit, the backbone to all of this, to surviving what is coming. You're not going to survive what's coming by knowledge alone, by preparation, physical or practical preparations alone. You're going to need to be plugged into this, to the word, to understanding. And everything that we see taking place, I believe we're going to see things that are going to cause us immense fear, and the Bible speaks of that. And we're going to be stymied by what we're seeing. Without the context, without the spiritual context, you could have all the food in the world, all the precious metals, all the ammunition and guns, but if you don't understand and don't operate within the venue of the word and of the scripture and how we are instructed, we're going to fail.
So, right. I mean, look at the satanic elite, the transhumanism, the merging with technology. These people are going to have, you know, something better than all the food and water you need. They think they're going to make themselves be able to live forever, and they're still going to have nothing because they don't have the Lord, and they will be lost.
Hmm.
So, as you said, you know, no preparation is as important as spiritual preparation, because the spiritual preparations is what will keep you with the Lord through eternity. The physical preparations will only help you and some others survive a little bit longer on this earth while it's still here.
And by the way, Dan, you're penetrating the veil. I think how great is that that word picture in the title of the program, penetrating the veil? Because without the word, you're not going to be able to see through or penetrate that veil. Even though the veil itself, by itself, is slowly eroding, becoming threadbare in certain spots, without that spiritual knowledge, advice, and of course, relationship, you're still not going to be able to see through that veil or penetrate that veil. So I just want to say, and by the way, your books are fantastic, as darkness falls right here on my desk. I just got to tell you, folks, listening to this program, if you haven't gotten the book, you got to get it. It's a great book. It's fiction, but it's not really. It's really what's coming, and you've had the foresight to really pen it out. I got a family member who does not read nonfiction books. I gave him your book, and he wants more. Understanding. So what a fantastic testament to your writing. So I just want to say thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you, Doug. Thank you for the unsolicited compliment. It's not me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a in that commercial that was on, it says, how could Holdings predict the discovery of the God particle. Folks, I didn't do that. I didn't predict it. I always say that I am just a donkey. You know, my producer just wrote me a note, you are a good donkey. But she took the words out of my mouth. I just want to be Balaam's donkey. I just want to open my mouth when the time comes to say something. And you know, God has been able to use that in picture form in those thrillers in order to get out information to the public at large. Originally, those books were designed to wake people up as a way to entertain them. But what I find is things are coming true out of those books that I could never have possibly known. I couldn't have known. You know, the funny thing is, Joe, I don't know if you read As the Darkness Falls, but, you know, one of the storylines in that book is, you know, Earth changes. And in that book, I think it was 84 volcanoes had went off before this really big event happens, natural earth change event happens. And I'm not going to talk to people about it. You don't have to get a book. But the crazy thing is when I wrote that book, there were only 30-some-odd volcanoes going off. And the reason I picked 84, or one of the reasons, is because there's no way that could happen, right? It is 30-some-odd volcanoes that are active. There's no way that we could jump to 84. At least in any time in my lifetime. Guys, we just hit 84 volcanoes just last week with that last volcano out of Indonesia,
yep.
I think it was. It is crazy the times in which we live, and that's really the point of the show today. When I talk about the pinnacle of history, Joe, you mentioned transhumanism. This is stuff out of science fiction movies when I was a kid. I'm a little older than you, about your dad's age, but we thought this was fantasy. It's not. There's no way that people could download their personalities and their consciousness into a computer. That's just stuff for books and movies. Well, they actually are trying to do that right now. There's no way that people are going to wear tech. You know, their cell phones in their hands and chips in there. There's no way that's going to happen. They're doing that right now. So the crazy thing is, Doug, we find ourselves at a time when all the things that we thought would never happen are happening, and it's happening all at the same time that your sources, Rosebud, Michael, and the rest, are telling you that all these other dark things are happening. Now, you know, we have about 7 minutes left. What does that make you feel like? When knowing that we are facing those truths that your sources are telling you and also dealing with all this other crazy stuff that is coming to fruition?
Well, I think that it's just further confirmation of the legitimacy and authenticity of my sources, but it's also even more importantly, it's confirmation of the revelations given to John of Patmos, and it speaks to the events taking place in the Bible. I think that we look at if we really understand the Bible, I think that the current events are taking place as laid out in the Holy Bible. It's a very interesting. Now, on the other side, real quick here. You know, are people driving the events to match the King James Version of the Bible, or are they using it as a roadmap, we'll say? That question has come up, but I think because Satan, of course, is a great counterfeiter, and, you know, Satan, the satanic influence, never a specific original thought. So, but aside from that, I go back to the information about George Bush. I do believe that we have a very serious situation there.
Well said. Joe, do me a favor. Give out your website information and any other closing information you want to sew up with.
Sure. The website is homelandsecurityus.com, and you can go there, folks, and we put promotions of our shows, upcoming guests. We have show summaries. You can go there to figure out how to listen, how to archive our show, The Hagman and Hagman Report. Our emails are on there if you'd like to contact us. And my father's writings from sources and articles he does, he's a fantastic writer. I love reading his articles, and I hope one day I can write half as good as he does, because the way he is able to put things from the information he gets and put it all together in a story, in a short story, is amazing. And HomelandSecurityUS.com, also on Blog Talk Radio, the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're also simulcast by the Christians United Broadcasting Network.
Well, Doug, any closing thoughts?
Actually, Daniel, my dad just got a call from the hospital. I think he had a CAT scan done or an MRI done earlier this week, and I think that they're giving him the results, so he had to take the phone call. So I will, in closing, just for him, say thank you to you, Mr. Holdings, and God bless you for all that you do, your book, and thank you so much for the honor of having us on your show.
Well, Joe, the honor is all mine, and please relate to your dad how much I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys being on, for one, and I know that you guys are busy, so I'm grateful that you've taken the time. But in addition to that, I'm grateful for the effort and for the price that you have paid to spread the truth and to lay down your lives for Christ. And that means more than anything that people can do just by moving their jaws. You guys are putting effort to the fight, and I appreciate you guys so much. Folks, you have been listening to The Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Daniel Holdings. We are dividing darkness from light. Next week, we will have, next Friday, I believe at 4 p.m., we will have Stan Dale talking about the mechanics of the veil. And then hopefully later on this month, we will have Chris Putnam speaking about the Vatican and their preparation for alien entities' arrival, and perhaps even Tom Horn later on in the month speaking about beast tech and transhumanism. Even though we are facing times that are uncertain, I challenge you to entrust your lives to Christ like never before. Not only follow Him, but walk with Him as you are in a marriage. And in that, you will find peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you again on The Cutting Edge.